I wanted to be part of something that would make a difference and that would just take technology, build it in a smart, scalable way, and use it to really affect people's lives. And now I've been here for 4 years and I haven't ever looked back.
Just before we get started, I really wanted to thank Otter AI for supporting this podcast. Get 600 minutes of free automated captioning when you sign up with the link in the description. Also, be sure to check out the full transcript of this podcast down in the description below. Welcome to episode 24 of the Hear Me Out podcast with Mark Truong. Today we're joined by the CEO of Hurex and Lexi Hearing, Nick Klopper. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us on the show.
Mark, it's a privilege to be here.
And we're also joined by Celine. Thank you so much, Celine, for also joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So, Nick, could you give us a quick introduction about yourself, how you got into the hearing space, and what's... I know a lot of audiologists know the brand Hurex. If you could give a bit of an introduction about that and also go into the new brand, which you guys recently launched, Lexi Lumen.
Great, Mark. So briefly, Hurex is a spin out from the University of Pretoria, quite prestigious university in South Africa. And it was founded by two of our co-founders, Professor David Swanepoel and Professor Hammond Moberg, one an audiologist and one in engineering. And they were looking to make hearing healthcare more accessible. So that's been our drive for the past 6 years. Started off by focusing predominantly on the healthcare professional, developing technologies for the healthcare professional. That ranges to anything from, you know, online hearing assessments to kiosk-based hearing assessments to, you know, full clinical CE and FDA approved audiometers. And that we've been selling into our B2B side of our business for the past 6 years. We're quite well established, in multiple verticals, both in the HCP space as well as in the occupational health space. About 2 years ago, we launched a product, which is a remote diagnostic artificial intelligence otoscope, which kind of caters for the medical field as well. So quite a wide gambit of product offerings in our B2B service offering. We've touched more than a million lives in the past 6 years of launching those products. And those products are being used in more than 180 countries around the globe. So, you know, from very remote countries to, you know, some of the larger markets like the US and so forth. And we're not stopping there. I mean, there's a couple of interesting products and developments coming. One of the most exciting stuff that happened this year with COVID is that a lot of audiology practice has been taking strain, couldn't get customers to come in into their practice. So we launched a product, which is a self-test kit. It's been very successful in the US and the UK markets, where audiologists could then use this kit, send it out to people's homes, get people to drive up curbside, do testing in their cars. And people got creative, right? And they can do a full gambit of, you know, threshold tests, they can do otoscopies alike. So been extremely successful for us and allowed us, I think, to, you know, keep a lot of audiologists from not going out of business so that they can kind of remotely deliver these services. It's been great for us because I think it leapfrogged a lot of the more traditional audiology market into kind of the new age. Extremely excited about kind of the future and where it could go.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been following the teleaudiology space for a while now, and I don't think anyone expected it to really blow up at the rate and the scale that it did.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, let me quickly get into the new brand. I think you also asked about Lexi. We've been, for the past 6 years, selling B2B. It's been our core business. And, of course, with the regulations, specifically in the US with OTC coming out. Everybody expected August. That was missed right early next year or mid next year. And we were quite excited about, you know, that playing into our focus or vision of the business, right, which is kind of making healthcare more accessible. And I think the OTC regs done correctly can definitely do that. So what we did is we developed a consumer-focused brand called Lex Hearing. It's agnostic from the hearing aid itself. I think we position, we don't manufacture hearing aids. Our main goal is to create a platform and a service delivery model for end consumers to be able to access hearing healthcare services in a more affordable and more accessible way. So you can think of Lexi as Android and the hearing aids as Samsung and LG and all the rest, right? It's really a platform. So what it in essence is, it's a platform where someone can order a hearing aid online. And of course, when OTC comes out, also purchase that in store. I mean, there's a lot of service delivery models, right? But I think those can be the two most prominent ones. Get a hearing aid delivered to their home. Download our application, our Lex Hearing application. Take our proprietary hearing assessment through the app. Auto fit the hearing aid to the hearing profile, so making it a hearing aid, of course.
Yep.
You know, very similarly to what you would have done going into an audiology practice. Then we've automated a lot of that process into behavior change, you know, in a more of a light touch model, which doesn't require hand holding as much as going to an HCP. And then we've, introduced a couple of interesting concepts like LexiCare, which is remote diagnostic, LexiRewards, a behavior change model. But all of that kind of bundled into, you know, one single, model that allows people to kind of gain access to a hearing aid at a much more affordable, affordable price.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great overview of what you do and the amazing work that's coming out and is being launched at the moment. Celine, so you have a background in engineering and have worked in a multitude of different organizations before. How did you get into the hearing space? It's so random.
Yeah, it is pretty random, right? I mean, as an engineer, you'd never think that you migrate to ears. But it's actually a funny personal story, which diverts a little bit from our conversation thus far. But I was working at a firm building technology and systems in the education space. And that's actually where I met Nick's mother. And Nick and I met when we were studying at university, at the University of Pretoria. And she pretty much walked into my office at work that day and she's like, "You're going to work for my son." And I was like, "Is that so? That's interesting. I have a job here. My boss is sitting right there. She just heard you, but you know, great." And she's like, "No, you're going to work for my son. Here's his number. Give him a call." And I actually did, because we've known each other now for 16 years. And we went for dinner with our families, and he showed me the technology that Hearix was working on and explained the dream of what he's trying to achieve with the business. And I mean, the rest is history. I was sold. I wanted to be part of something that would make a difference and that would just take technology, build it in a smart, scalable way, and use it to really affect people's lives. And now I've been here for 4 years and I haven't ever looked back.
Wow. I like what you said about smart, scalable way. Sorry.
No, I said thanks to Nick's mom. Yeah.
I like what you said about smart and scalable way, because I like a lot of the processes and a lot of the systems that we have in audiology aren't exactly very smart, like the Excel sheets, the ancient CRM programs, and they aren't exactly very scalable either. Like, one person knows how to operate them and they can teach two or three people, but to really get the whole team going and to onboard somebody else, it's really, really labor intensive.
Exactly. And I think that once you start, like, my obsession is trying to figure out the root cause of things, right? So what really stunned me when I walked into the industry was the low prevalence rate of testing and services provided to the end users. And I mean, we're sitting in sub-Saharan Africa and we have a 3% prevalence rate for fitting or hearing aids for people who actually need them. And I was like, why is all of this happening? And honestly, to me, it came down to the fact that the current way of doing things wasn't scalable, and it wasn't ever going to be able to reach all of the people that needed to be reached, and we needed to fill a gap in that sense. So, yeah, that's why we exist.
I mean, just to add on to that, I think, so you know the exact stat, I think there's like, it's one audiologist or hearing healthcare professional per million in the majority of Africa, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and only 3% of people who need a hearing aid have one.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how, it's insane.
Yeah, and we as people in the industry really know the impacts that hearing, the lack of hearing can make on somebody's life. Like, I recently got my grandma hearing aids in May or March, can't remember, and it's made a huge difference. Every time she doesn't wear hearing aids, my mom's like, did you not charge your hearing aids? She's like, yes. There's a real tangible difference, and before that, they didn't even notice that she was having troubles. Like, I noticed, and, like, people noticed, but without having it 24/7, without having it in 18 hours a day, nobody really noticed the difference it made. And having only 3% of people who need it get it, that's such a disappointment. Even here in Australia, we're hitting maybe 25%, but I tell you, maybe 15% of those people aren't putting them all in all the time. They're in their top drawers. And I'm really excited for more organizations like yours with Lexi Hearing and your Hearix group providing hearing screeners at the back end of that, as well as people like Eargo and Hura really coming out with more devices to break into that market. And they're available in two ways, either getting it on a finance model or outright. How and why did you decide to enter a market which has hearing aids at $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 at such a low price?
Yeah, Mark. I mean, we did a lot of market research, kind of looking at, you know, what would be an appealing price for the end consumer and what would kind of make it accessible to them. Even though, you know, $799 if you had to purchase them outright is, you know, 80% cheaper than, you know, what the average hearing aids do currently cost in the US. Our mission is not to stop there, right? I mean, if we can half that price, we would, right? It's just, there's a lot of barriers for us to overcome. And because we don't just sell the hearing aids, provide a lot of after sales support. There's still a lot of, labor involved in the selling of our hearing aids. But, I think we've made at least great strides into, you know, solidifying a much more affordable price point. The interesting thing is, there's actually quite an interesting story what happened. We started off by offering the hearing at $799 and then a finance option. And a lot of our customers actually didn't qualify for our finance. Mm-hmm. And I think the first week got like 100 of our customers, which got declined for their finance, when we launched. And like, there's a big problem, right?
Because nobody else in the industry has ever tackled financing at a scale, at a large scale, because nobody can finance elderly people without an income or without any revenue coming in.
Yeah. So it's been a massive hurdle. And then we immediately thought this entire financing model is broken. We have to democratize it and, you know, bring that barrier down. So what we did is kind of, I think it was a month in, it was the end of September, we launched our subscription model, which was mostly the best thing we've ever done. So, I mean, our sales like tripled in that same month once we introduced that. And what it effectively is it's a plan. It's a 24-month subscription plan, completely risk-free. So no contracts, opt out at any time or cancel any time. So our customers pay a $50 once-off activation fee, and then they pay $49 a month for 24 months. But if they, in the first 45 days after they've purchased our hearing aids, they can send the hearing aids back, and we'll refund the full $50 as well as the whatever they paid in monthly subscriptions. If they are post the 45 days, they can send the hearing aids back and will then cancel it. Then, of course, at any point during kind of from month one to month 24, if they don't like it, they can do the same, right? And we've seen that, you know, being, it's it actually puts our money where our mouths is, right? Because we know that if our customers aren't happy with the product, they will send it back. And we basically made it easy for them to do that versus being, you know, locked into a 24-month financing contract, which you just can't get out of. And to give you context, I mean, our return rates are 25% of the industry currently. It's even coming down. And we've only had, of all the sales we've done to date, we've had one or two, Celine, help me out, but I think it's one of the customers post their 45 days in the subscription model, which have canceled their contract, right? Which means that, all our customers actually, once they're comfortable with the idea of wearing hearing aids, because I think that first 45 days, like, I'm either a hearing aid wearer or not, right? Once I like what you guys are offering, our customers do stick with us. So, it's incredible, right? I mean, it does, of course, put strain on us as a business because we had to restructure the business in a way because we're not a bank. We had to slightly become one. So we had to innovate, on the way in which we structure this. But I mean, yeah, our default rates, our cancellation rates, it's much lower than expected. So, we're extremely excited about this and the future of what this can do, right?
Yeah, it's a really promising look at the future of direct-to-consumer devices, that online delivery of hearing aids is an actual viable model. I went into Blamey Saunders today to just have a chat with them, and I think they also have a really promising business model, which I'm really hopeful that more people in the industry can start implementing or start even taking little chunks out of, because if a business like yours with such low return rates and such high satisfaction is able to do this online, it's really talking to why can't clinicians in the store do better? What do you think are some of the major, the key factors which make the customer satisfaction so high? What kind of factors, like, is it customer support? Is it really helping them in the early stages, or really getting the follow up across the whole process?
The one thing that always sticks with me is that people are always saying the best hearing aid is a worn hearing aid, right? And I think that there's a lot that needs to go into getting someone to the point where they're wearing a hearing aid diligently, yeah, and where they're getting the benefit of that device, right? And I think that what Lexi has really been able to do is create that stickiness for the device. I think one of the most important things about getting a device in somebody's ears is expectation management. So we have a very high touch model remotely, obviously, through, yep, our app and our call center that guides the user through the first 45 days in an intensive program. And then that program actually continues for the duration of their use of the device with Lexi. And what that program does is it's able to firstly gauge their state of mind, their psychological state, their reasons for wearing the hearing aid, and then we tailor a program for them automatically through the application that then guides them through that process. So one of the things, for instance, is getting them used to wearing the device in smaller pieces. So today you're going to wear your device for this many hours, and woohoo, congratulations when you do it. We're really proud of you. Great. And then the next day it's a little bit longer until they get used to wearing the device for the desired period per day. Another one of the things that I think is really key to the success of the satisfaction is our continued check-in with a client. So we do this in two ways. Firstly, through actually phoning them. So we've done a lot of research to determine at which points in the journey is the client most vulnerable and when do you need to touch base with them, because we wanted to have patient-centric care, but on the back of a hearing expert. So that counseling and relationship building between the hearing expert and the client is very, very important to us. So we call them at these stages and help further gauge how they are doing, how they are benefiting from the device, if they have any questions, whether or not we can make any remote adjustments, and then we do that in those calls. And then the second way that we do this is through activities that we push through the application. So we're able to proactively measure whether or not they are satisfied, whether or not they're struggling with anything. We're able to see through how they use the application, if there are any issues that they are experiencing through the device, say, for instance, they're continuously pushing up the volume in the one ear or the other, we can trigger automatically one of our experts to call them, to counsel them through that and help them understand what it is that they're going through. And one of my favorite reviews to this point is a customer. She's so honest, and I love it when customers are honest, because she's like, the first week was difficult. It feels itchy. It's a whole new experience that you're going through. You can hear things you couldn't hear before. But because of how the experts and the app helped her through that, once she got past the first week, she's like, I'm never letting these things go. They're never leaving my ears. I'll always be a Lexi client. And I think it's that kind of a thing, like being able to, instead of waiting for the client to come to you when they have a problem, in like being able to actually proactively manage their satisfaction levels and their state of mind has been very key to helping us get the low return rates and the high customer satisfaction that we have through Lexi.
Wow. And I guess the more you do this, the longer you do this, and the more clients you get, the more data you get on what stages they're going to be having trouble with, at what rates are people having to call the clinic, at what times should the clinic call the people, and how can you better optimize the app.
Exactly. And I think our engineers are having a lot of fun with all the anonymized data just to try and find patterns and trends within it in order to help us make our customer satisfaction better. And I think to a certain extent, you want it to become like, oh, you're reading someone's mind. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah. Mark, just to add on to that, I think what makes everything as Celine explained so much more powerful, as we know, people intrinsically don't like being told what to do, right? So of course we've got all these aspirations, you know, read this article and watch this video, right? But we know people are lazy and don't really want to do that. So the way in which we structured is we took, you know, all of this, everything Celine explained, and we kind of bundled that into a program, which we call Lexi Rewards. And what we do is we onboard, it's a completely a free service, but it's an opt-in model, so you opt in for Lexi Rewards. And we currently sit at just over 40% opt-in of our customers which do wear Lexi hearing aids. We'd love to get that up, but I think still at 40% of our customers being on Lexi Rewards, being active users, that's a good feat. And of course, we'll think through on how to improve the opt-in uptake. But what we do is the main incentive driver to get them to opt in and to adhere to the program on a daily and a weekly basis is by incentivizing them. So what we do is we give them cash back in Lexi Rewards points. So 100 Lexi Rewards points equals $1. And then they can exchange that. We've got a shop in the app, so they can buy batteries, tips, domes, tubes, dryers, companion mics, and all these other accessories which will increase their satisfaction of the product. And if you are on the subscription plan, so our payment option, you also have the opportunity to actually redeem your points against your monthly payment. So some of our customers pay only 85% of their premium on a monthly basis because they actually wear the hearing aid as they should, which means they're saving their profit.
Which is really amazing. We were talking about this kind of gamification of apps and really making it desirable to use an app, because who wants to download an additional app? Who wants to fill up more space on their phone when it's always full anyway? And having 40% of people opt in into this program, I think is really a testament to how important giving real meaningful incentives are for clients. Like if they can actually see that, okay, it's going back into free battery, it's going back into monthly repayments, it will really incentivize them to use the hearing aids more, engage with the programs more, and get rewards. I think that's really cool that you guys have developed a system which really enables them to use their hearing aids more and really incentivizes that. Celine, what do you, with that program, do you guys see a lot of people redeeming a lot of batteries? And what have you seen as the biggest purchase somebody has used with that rewards?
So we have quite a number of people that are saving their points for some of the larger items. So I think it depends on what the person is, like in which phase of their life they are. So I've seen that the younger adults are saving up for one of the companion mics to assist them in a work environment, for instance. But some of the older clients are buying the more maintenance-driven items. That hasn't ever happened with someone on our subscription model because it's a fully inclusive hearing model. So they actually get sent their maintenance kits on a regular basis. So they don't buy any batteries, any tubes, any domes because it's already included in their subscription. So it's more the larger ticket items that people are saving up for and then obviously redeeming it in their monthly subscription. I think having that money back in your pocket on a monthly basis is really what drives that engagement.
Yeah, and I think we've seen this also in the supermarkets here in Australia, where people have flybys or rewards points where they're incentivized to scan the card, even though it takes another 5 seconds to pull it out of your pocket. You get $10 back every $200 spent or something, and they're really, really incentivized to, okay, I'm going to keep track of this, going to make sure that I'm getting my money back, going to make sure that every cent is saved. I think that's awesome. I love that young adults are actually interested in getting companion mics, interested in getting the devices to help them connect with their computers, with their phones and all of that. Do you see that your demographic is slightly younger than the traditional hearing aid user?
Surprisingly not, actually. So if you look at the data, the majority of our clients are over the age of 65. So like a sweet spot from 55 to about 70. Our oldest hearing aid user is currently 86. He downloaded the app himself. He walked himself through the onboarding. And he's a staunch supporter of Lexi. And our youngest hearing aid user is 25. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I've been using these Stylo 2X hearing aids for the past 3 months, I think, now. And I've clocked 130 hours on them.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nice.
And I've noticed all these weird quirks and weird problems, and I've been talking to people and they're like, I never knew that you could do this with your hearing aids, and I never knew that these problems were arising. And it's super cool once you actually get used to them, once you put them on all the time. All the sounds that you notice, like when I take my hearing aids off now or I turn them off, I'm like, why is my voice not sharp anymore? This is not right. And it's super cool that if people are wearing it a lot more and they're getting used to the sounds around them, that it can be a lot more beneficial.
Yeah. Mark, something interesting that we saw as well, and I think, you know, when we designed this program, I mean, we were working under the hypothesis assumption that, you know, elderly people would go back into an app, right? And we didn't know. I mean, there were no data out there to say, oh, hell, hearing aid users go into, you know, their hearing app 5 times a day, right? So, I mean, we designed and built this entire experience without actually knowing if it's going to work. But the data is extremely surprising. So if you looked at our opt-in for Lexi Rewards, it's our older demographic compared to our younger people, which actually opt-in. And I'm not sure if that's a budget thing or they've got more time compared to the younger demographic, right? I'm sure that'll come out in time so for us to properly understand that. But the most fascinating thing for us was how many times a day our customers are going back into the app. And we have got customers going back into the app as many as 33 times a day, with our average sessions per user around 17 times a day, which is mind-blowing, right? To think that there's enough content, rich content, and value for them to open it, you know, the app as many as 17 times a day. No idea what they do there 17 times a day, but... goodness, it is, I mean, that was just completely fascinating. So we send out a couple of surveys to our customers, you know, asking them where do they prefer, you know, changing the volume of the hearing aid, whether they, you know, prefer changing the program setting. So, you can do that on the hearing aid as in the app. And I think it was like slam dunk in the app. Like, why would I do it anywhere else, right? So that was fascinating to us because even myself, I would think it's much easier just changing the volume at the back of the hearing aid. And changing the program on the hearing aid, but it seems that that's not the case our users of Lexi.
Yeah, because I was having this argument with my grandma. I'm like, Grandma, I love the new Phonak Paradise line of hearing aids with two program buttons, double tap, and like I can set eight different programs in both sides. So it's like double tap, up, down, left, right. And she's using the Stiletto X and she's like, I love the Stiletto X. Why would I want to touch back my ear? I can't even feel that with my arthritis. I don't know which one's the top button, which one's the bottom button. And I look old if I touch the back of my ear. Using the phone app is super easy because it just looks like you're texting somebody or you're controlling something. And like, that's a problem.
Yeah. So your grandma has the same frame of mind, it seems, than our Lexi customers do. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Because of the Stiletto X, I'm like, this is the worst. I need to, like, press buttons. But after a few weeks, I really actually realized that I don't need to press that many buttons. The automatic programs are actually really good. And I'm sure that the Lexi hearings are also really good. And that most of the time, you really don't need to be touching your hearing aids. It's usually unnecessary.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So with this, I just checked on Google how many times does an average person open their phone, and it's about 58 times. So if you're getting somebody who's opening it 30 times just for your app, especially in the older demographic who usually don't touch their phone very much, I'm super surprised.
We were blown away completely.
You should see like their rescue timer, like maybe that's all they use their phone for. They're just controlling the hearing aids.
We should include it in that. I know on iPhones you get that weekly summary of your screen time. It should be included in there, right? Hearing aid portion 60% of all your time, right?
I think my computer usage has actually doubled since COVID. I think it was usually at 24 hours a week. It's gone to like 58. And I'm like, I can't see anything anymore. My eyes are like, they're totally gone. So you guys coming at a price point of $799. The hearing aids look pretty good. They aren't exactly the latest. They don't look super sleek, but what are the features which are available on the Lexi hearing aids? Were there any things that you guys needed to cut from it? Any features that you just couldn't put in at that kind of price point?
Yeah, it was an interesting place for us, right? And we also took a very big data, you know, driven approach here. And we're like, what are those key features that, you know, we do need our customers to have? And which are those that we can work on in future models, would be fine to launch without? And I think the most important thing for us was the ability to have Bluetooth, because they can have full control over the hearing aids. Secondly, the ability for us to do remote programming from the phone as well as remotely from our hearing experts. Of course, we needed to do that. We needed to have directional microphones. I think that was really important to us, which differentiates us as well from PSATs, right, to make it a true hearing aid. And then what we've seen adds a lot of value to our customers is the ability to have, you know, program adjustments. So we've got different environmental programs which we currently run our customers through. And those were the key features that was important to us to launch the product into. I think they are nice to haves, I think, which we're working on as future updates. You spoke about the sleekness of the device. You spoke about, you know, there's things like rechargeability, Bluetooth streaming, some key other, technologies which we think might add value. But it is this compromise, right? What you can afford to put into a hearing aid, right? Not costing, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and still making it affordable. So I think we haven't had customers returning our hearing aids because, you know, they had to replace a battery or stuff like that. Not at all. Or that there's complaints about the sound quality. So I think sound quality experience, actually improving the hearing was the number one key driving factor for, you know, us selecting the device we did and partnering with the partner we did.
Wow. So going on from that, who does manufacture your hearing aids and why did you decide to go with that manufacturer?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would say we've gone shopping all around the globe, right? We were in Europe, we were in the East. We ended up working with a manufacturer out of the US. So it's US-based technology manufactured in Singapore. It's a very well reputable company by the name of Intricon, publicly listed in the US. They don't have a consumer facing brand like, you know, the Phonak or Signia or the Stiletto and so forth that, you know, the audiologists are kind of used to. We know as well, it's not as if, you know, end users really do know hearing aid brands, right? I mean, there aren't hearing aid brands which people are accustomed to. But we wanted to find a partner that are, got reputable hearing aids at a reasonable cost. I mean, and they are one of the largest providers for hearing aids into United Healthcare, which is one of the dominant medical insurer in the US. They provide thousands or hundreds of thousands of hearing aids to the NHS in the UK. So I mean, this specific device that we are using, you know, there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these devices, you know, in the market. So we chose a device which is extremely stable, works well. You know, our manufacturing faults and issues we currently have, you know, is marginal, right? So it just adds to that, you know, consumer confidence that, you know, the device that I got is actually going to work. So versus taking most probably the latest and greatest, you know, haven't properly been vetted or tested device. So I think we try to find that right balance. And the Intricon partnership has been extremely valuable for us.
And I think having the reliability and that history of 100,000 devices being rolled out on this model is really important, especially for a small company like yours. You don't want to have to deal with the logistics and the back end of having returns and having things just not work and having to figure out the processes of how do I troubleshoot a hearing aid online when the hearing aid itself is not reliable.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it definitely... there's so much to worry about, like you say, that you have to get right on this user journey. The last thing you want to worry about is the reliability of the hearing aid, right?
Yeah, because as an entrepreneur, as somebody who really loves business, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, okay, how do I, when I graduate, how do I go to China, find a manufacturer, build up the hearing aid brand online, do the service delivery? I'm going... Gosh, if hearing aids are selling at the prices they're selling, I'm going to be broke trying to buy stock. This is just not going to work. And trying to deal with the logistics and the back end of, oh, this may or may not work, and this may or may not be a good product.
And we've tested, I mean, Mark, to give you context, I mean, we've tested, we've got, I mean, a box like this at the office of almost every hearing aid we could find. You know, and it was a big process for us to, you know, conclude on our first partner. And of course, you know, the platform itself is agnostic to the hearing aid. It doesn't mean that we are, you know, only going to provide an Intricon device on this platform, you know, for the rest of the future of the platform.
Cool. It reminds me of the Google Nexus line of phones when Google used to partner with HTC, Samsung, and all those guys, where each generation would be the best phone from whichever manufacturer would make the best phone. And I think it's awesome that you are able to pick and choose from whichever manufacturer suits you and has a good blend between price and features and reliability. How does the next 5 to 10 years look for you guys? How does what kind of features are you really keen to tackle in the next model, if that's not too much of a secret?
So I think OTC is going to push prices down. And we hope that that's going to be the case, that, you know, we can have more features at a more reasonable price. I mean, we've got a wish list as long, you know, this long, right? But I think if you had to ask me, the stuff that I'm excited about is almost less about the features of the hearing aid. Seeing that we've seen for the end user, that's almost less important than us actually getting to the customer in the right way. So I think the more innovative channels in which we can sell hearing aids, which is outside of the traditional norm, if you had to ask me, I think we're more internally excited about that than adding, you know, it tracks your steps, right? Or it tracks, you know, if you tilt your head this way, right? As much as I do think those are great and cool, I think it's still to be proven which of those features really still drive substantial customer satisfaction. I'm not saying there's not marginal improvements, but if we can get the product, you know, into 50,000 retail outlets in the next 12 months, right, and get the product in front of customers, we know the product works, you know, that's definitely more exciting to us.
I know you guys aren't audiologists, but how important do you think... How do you weigh it up, the importance of the features and the technology level of a hearing aid versus the follow-up and the customer support? If you were to go 50-50.
So, I mean, we're not audiologists, but we have a huge team of audiologists that work for us and that are constantly advising us on things like this. And I think even if you ask them, they'd be split down the middle. I think it's a very fine balance, but in my personal opinion, I find that the follow-up care and the counseling and the expectation management sometimes, well, most of the time, outweighs the actual technological features of a device, because we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different hearing aids in the world, and there's only that many different features you can add to it. So where's the key really lying? It's how that patient is experiencing the device, the service that they get, the sound quality and the personalization to their own hearing profile, and being able to like have something remotely fine-tuned within an instant and have that access to those experts. My personal non-audiologist opinion is that outweighs the features of the device itself.
And I know audiologists resonate with that, because as audiologists, they know that the patient is coming back for their service and their heart and their willingness to help them. They're not coming back because, okay, there's a brand on the hearing aid or there's a specific model. As long as it works well and it's providing the features and functions that they need, the follow-up and the heart of the audiologist is really that important and differentiating factor between one good audiologist and, well, not one good audiologist, as in one good experience and one not so good experience.
Absolutely.
Of course, I mean, sound quality needs to be good as well, right? I mean, that's that's not a feature, that's a must-have.
Out comes the tech nerd.
Which I hope after 50 years of developing hearing aids, that most hearing aids sound decent.
Yeah.
But our box of testing didn't show us that they all have that. So, yeah.
All right. I'll be interested to check out more hearing aids in the future. Yeah. So you guys are launching with Walgreens in over 38 states online in the next few weeks. It's super exciting to see that you're partnering up with one of the biggest chains in America. How's the transition going with going from a direct B2C business interacting directly online to partnering with one of the biggest retailers in the country?
Yeah, it's It has been a lot of work. I think all the retailers are super excited. There's terminology going around in the industry. This is the next gold rush. So I think, a lot of the retailers are trying to get into the space. And we're working on a lot of, different proof of concepts, with a lot of the retailers. And I think everybody's got a different take to, what OTC can and will look like in the future. But I do think they're also looking for more scalable models, right? I mean, we know of retail models, like Costco in the US, which have, done a good job, selling, 500,000-600,000 hearing aids a year. I think everybody, a lot of the retailers are seeing that and seeing, would love to get into that, provide this level of care for our customers. But I'm not saying something Costco did anything wrong. It's an expensive and laborious process to set up, hearing aid booths and audiologists in each one of your stores. I think what OTC, I think the main intent of OTC as well is also, to make it more scalable, and of course more affordable. So if you can minimize the amount of, infrastructure required, of course you can make the service offering much more affordable. So I think the, front runners of, this currently in the US and the engagements we've been having is definitely Walgreens. I think they've got a very interesting take on how they see the OTC market unfold. Our first step and launch with them is an online launch, which is going to be active in 38 states across the US. Where directly from the Walgreens hearing aid category, you'll be able to go to a co-developed site, and then either opt in once off or subscribe to the hearing aid directly from there. We'll do all the fulfillment and dispatching and customer support. And then secondly, there is a section on the Walgreens site, which is called Find Care, which allows users the word says it's right, find care. They'll find anything from, making video calls to doctors and sleep therapy and so forth. How we've positioned ours is that you can take our free online hearing assessment and then connect to a hearing expert at the back of that, ask specific questions about, how would a specific device benefit, my hearing profile? Am I a candidate for actually getting benefit from a hearing aid, right? And then I think the idea with the Find Care experience is to take them through that user journey, which is a digital user journey versus actually having to go into a practice, right? So I think we're trying to mimic a lot of that user engagement into, if you can call it a virtual engagement from taking hearing assessment to getting a device. And we're super excited about those because I don't think any of these two have ever been done in, a successful model before. So at the scale, I mean, there is millions and millions of users, right, going through this online site on a monthly basis.
And how important was both your backgrounds in working with Hurex over the past 4 years as the GM and the CEO in developing such a site where you're able to really funnel people in, make sure that they're going through the right processes, make sure that they're going through the right programs and the right screeners in order to really get a consistent outcome?
I mean, there's a couple of factors to that. I think the first thing is, we researched back. I mean, our founders are, very reputable researchers. I think we're data-driven. So I think everything we offer from, our screening technology to our testing technology, well-validated, well-published, locally and internationally. So that's the first thing, right? You need to make sure that your technology is sound. Secondly, because we are, 50 to 60% of our company is all engineers, I think we love the data and analyzing the data. So what we do is, we look at the data, we look at the engagement. And I think where we started off 6 years ago to where we're at now, right, and the way in which customers engage with our technologies are completely different. I think we've learned a lot. So we continuously optimize and improve. I mean, you also alluded to that previously with our rewards program. So that's super important to us. But I mean, it's not as if we have, years and years of experience on, you know, direct-to-consumer hearing aids, right? So I think we're learning. But I think we've got the right makeup inside the company to very quickly iterate. And I think that's super important. I mean, also one of the advantages of being a startup, right, is, you know, you can throw the one, you know, model out and quickly introduce something new, which does actually work or doesn't work. But I think more of the more traditional large organizations don't have that agility to be able to do that. And I think that also plays into our strength of making sure we can kind of continuously improve and hone in on that ideal customer experience. If that is across technology or the way in which, you know, our experts engage with our customers, right? I mean, it's across the gambit of, you know, the entire value offering.
I must say, Mark, so you asked the question earlier, as an entrepreneur, where would you start, right? If you decided to go and look across the world for a hearing aid and push it out into this market, spend a whole bunch of cash and kind of cross your fingers and hope that it worked. I think what is so core to the success of our team is our agility and our inquisitiveness and that nature of really wanting to figure things out and try things. And then at the end of the day, just take the courageous step to try it and see if it works. And then if it doesn't work, we iterate, we change something, we try again. And I think that is something that's really helped us get this to market soon. A combination of a really smart group of people. Our tech team is absolutely incredible. And our CEO is incredibly brave and courageous. So if you kind of put that all together in a glass, you kind of get magic out at the end of the day. And I think that's something that's really helped us get to where we are today.
Wow. Yeah. I'm really amazed at all the amazing work that you guys are doing and that you continue to do. I really appreciate all the time that you guys spent with me today. And I love your passion for audiology and really helping to roll out hearing healthcare to more people, because given the current state of the world, given the current state of hearing healthcare, it's just so disappointing and so such a letdown that not enough people really get the service and the care that they deserve and really need. And I'm excited for the HearX organization with what they do with hearing screenings, being able to get more people through audiology clinics and now through your Lexi Hearing programs. I'm excited for the future of your organization and how it's really going to be helping more people get the hearing back, helping more people recognize that they have an issue with hearing, and really helping audiologists help more people. To finish up, I just wanted to find out, what has been the biggest lesson that you've learned, maybe Nick first and then Celine afterwards, from working these years in the hearing healthcare space? And what do you think is one of the biggest barriers and the biggest challenges that you really faced getting into this industry from a more engineering and more design background?
I think we don't have enough time for me to go through my entire list of what we've learned. Well, firstly, never assume. I think, you know, we're a young company. I mean, the majority of the, you know, of our employees also are, we call them youngsters, you know, below 40. So I think, you know, we, of course, are developing products for people which are most of the time not in that age category, right? So you have to continuously place yourself in that mindset. And I think that has been quite hard for us. And we're a technology company catering for an older demographic, which has a lot of challenges that come with it, right? So I think it's never to assume that, you know, what will work for me is going to work for our target demographic. That's been a big lesson for us. And then, of course, I think the biggest thing, you know, looking back, was the unfortunate challenges of an industry which almost didn't keep up with the time when it comes to the way in which they operate. It's been very slow to innovate. And I think we've got a drive to innovate much faster than the industry almost. We're sort of like out innovating the industry. And I think there's a fine balance to kind of, you know, innovation and what works. And I think at some point, I think we had to slow down and just kind of listen and see what the market really needs versus just forcing technology onto people, because the technology is just a conduit, right, for people to get a better service delivery model. And I think once we've paired technology with a service delivery model and a service model, right, I mean, physical audiologists and people assisting, I think we've found the best mix versus just being a technology company on its own. I think we're now at the right place. But it took us 6 years to get here.
Having created online reviews for hearing aids and starting this podcast, I've realized how much I lack empathy and knowledge of what actual consumers want. I like love all the tech side, but I'm really excited to get back into the clinic and really understand what our target demographic in the 60s, 70s and 80s actually want, because what me, you and Celine like are definitely not always what the person in their 60s, 70s and 80s likes. So getting that perspective is really important. Celine, what's been the biggest lesson you've learned and the biggest barrier that you didn't expect coming into this industry?
So I think the biggest barrier was realizing even more so that people don't like change. So on the B2B side of the business, the technology that we developed for low cost, easy access hearing healthcare services in terms of screening and diagnostics is always at it just took a little bit more work to convince people that this is new and different, but it's better. I think that was super interesting. And I think my career took a turn to caring much, much more about psychology and people's emotions and their states of mind than what it is just technology. So I really echo what Nick is saying. And for me, the realization came with the fact that we're not selling hearing aids. Lexi is not just another app. We're giving people communication. We're enabling them to be part of their communities. We're giving them connection. And that's what Lexi Hearing is. It goes so much further than tech or just health. It's like so much deeper than that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned.
Fantastic. If audiologists wanted to find more information about Hurex or Lexi Hearing or wanted to reach out, where can they find you?
They can find us on hearexgroup.com or on lexihearing.com.
Fantastic. And I'll be leaving that down in the description below. Thank you so much, Celine and Nick, for joining me today on the Hear Me Out podcast. Really appreciate all your time.
Thanks, Mark. And thanks for the work that you do. We really appreciate it. The world needs it.
Awesome.